Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're taking a look at a massive shift over the last 50 years, from 1976 to 2026.
Yeah, a full half century of data.
Right. Our mission today is to explore how countries attract the rest of the world, because destinations have really shifted from just pitching basic sun and cheap flights, you know, to competing in this complex, high-stakes reputation economy.
Absolutely. And the sources we're pulling from today really show how massive this shift is.
Okay, let's unpack this, because it makes a lot of sense when you look at it. Choosing a destination used to be like buying a basic commodity.
Like buying milk or bread.
Yeah, exactly. You just needed a sunny beach and a cheap ticket.
Right.
But today, it's like investing in a corporate brand stock.
That portfolio analogy is spot on, especially when you look at the explosive scale we're dealing with now. I mean, international arrivals skyrocketed from 222 million back in 1975 to a projected 1.5 billion in 2025.
Wow, 1.5 billion.
Yeah, it is the completely different game now. And what's fascinating here is how physical beauty now requires perceived environmental stewardship. You can't just have pretty mountains anymore.
Wait, so when Iceland's Eyjafjallajökull volcano erupted in 2010, shouldn't that have ruined their appeal? I mean, it literally covered everything in ash.
You would think so, right? But Iceland turned it around. They launched this social media campaign encouraging locals to share unpolished videos of the wild landscape.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and their quirky hospitality, too. It actually turned a natural disaster into a 27% tourism surge. It basically proved that raw nature and friendly locals completely trump, you know, manicured perfection.
A 27% surge from a volcano erupting.
Yeah.
It's wild. And it smoothly transitions us from physical landscapes to cultural influence.
Oh, for sure. Culture is a huge driver now.
Right. Like, look at Asian smart power. You have South Korea's Hallyu wave and Japan's tourism boom, which really decentralized Western cultural dominance.
Exactly. They deliberately exported their culture. But the data shows the reverse is true, too. A country's reputation stock can tank if people stop buying into its values.
Ruck, what happened with the U.S.?
Yeah, the so-called Trump effect. According to the Anholt-Ipsos Nation Brands Index data, the U.S. actually fell from first place all the way down to 14th place by 2025.
And I want to jump in right here just to clarify for you listening that we are absolutely not endorsing any political viewpoint with this.
No. Not at all. Just looking at the numbers.
Right. We are simply conveying the objective global survey data from the sources. The U.S. didn't lose its physical beauty. It was a perceived disconnect in values, which ties right back into well-being.
It really does. If travelers want to align with a brand, they also demand physical safety. But there is this really bizarre perception gap happening.
Oh, yeah. The crime data.
Right. So U.S. violent crime has actually halved since 1990. Halved. Yet 55% of global respondents feel 1975 was safer and happier.
More than half the people feel less safe now. That is just, it's a huge anxiety gap.
It is. And this modern anxiety has fueled a massive $115.6 billion medical tourism industry.
Jeez.
Yeah. Nations like Thailand are offering massive savings and high health security. They're basically building infrastructures just to cater to anxious Westerners.
So what does this all mean? We've moved from an era of mass democratization, you know, just wanting a generic beach, to nation branding, and finally to today's focus on ethical alignment and medical quality.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, where you travel now, broadcasts your personal values and your desire for security in a chaotic world.
Exactly. And I want to leave you to ponder one final detail from the research. In Japan, tourism spending recently surpassed semiconductor and steel exports.
That really puts it into perspective.
It does. If a nation's economic survival now depends more on its soft reputation for friendliness and culture than its hard industrial output, will traditional manufacturing soon become obsolete in the race for global dominance?